is the Tom Likas Show.
About a recipe for pancakes.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
You like pancakes?
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Welcome to our bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio for our bonus hour is criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom.
Guns. Want to talk to you about guns.
Really?
I do.
Because what's the matter, Tom? Are you feeling threatened?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, I've got a lot of emails over the last month or two from people. Somehow, there may have been an article written somewhere, or there may have been all this talk about all the shootings that have gone on, and people are thinking about buying guns. And they're writing to me, and I'm no expert on that, except that I support the Second Amendment, but I'm no expert on, and what I'm about to ask you, and I'm about to ask you for that reason. So, you've just bought a gun, and now somebody comes to your front door and says, I'm coming in, and you can't stop me. And who can you shoot?
Okay. Well, this is actually going to segue very well into what I plan to talk about this evening anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, Tom, there is a real question of philosophy of what's going on today. And we just saw the Republican convention end, and now the Democratic convention's going on. And, you know, you have two very different visions. Usually the Democrats are complaining about how America's not fair and we have to, help the people and all that sort of thing. But it's partially because of, you know, the people that are running and so forth. But one of the major themes that the Republicans were pushing, which I don't know if, you know, this is particularly related to Trump or not, but in general, that, you know, people think that things are out of control. And as people experience life and they feel that way, they are inclined more and more to want to arm themselves.
Right. All right. So let's say I just got back from the gun store. I've got a brand new baby. Who can I shoot?
Okay. So what you really have to think about, you know, in terms of the way that you view society is, you know, it is true that in general, you know, if you're in trouble, if you call the police, which is what the good citizen is supposed to do, even under the best of circumstances, you know, they're going to come to your place or business or house, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes later, you know, things may have really changed by then. And, you know, basically the gun that you're talking about is essentially meant to be a defensive weapon. You certainly in most states, in California, for example, they have some, you know, background check stuff going on, waiting periods or whatever. But if you're an average citizen and you don't have a criminal record, or if you've had me expunge your record, if you did have one, then you can buy a gun. You can buy, I think they kind of limit you to like, I think one or two per month or something, or some kind of whatever. And you can buy ammunition that's pretty much unregulated. And you're not supposed to walk around with it concealed. That's a problem. You're not supposed to walk around like the neighborhood or whatever. There's also, you know, in some states, like in Texas or whatever, people are actually wearing it outwardly on their hip where you can see the gun. You're not supposed to do that. But your home is a special case. Generally speaking, you do not have any duty to retreat on your own property. And what that means generally was in the classic situation of, let's say, a bar fight, if there was a door behind you and someone confronts you, and let's say they do the classic thing in a bar where they smash the beer bottle and they've got this sharp bottle pointed or a knife or whatever it is, You know, that's deadly force. That's a threat. And the person says, you know, I'm going to cut you up like this. If there is a door behind you with an exit, you have to take it. And you're supposed to take it. The only way that you could match deadly force is if you have no escape. So then you could theoretically pull out a gun and shoot the guy. However, in your house, you don't have that obligation. Your home is considered to be something that you don't have to retreat. And if you remember some of the issues that they brought up with the case in Florida of that Zimmerman, remember, if you remember that there was the retreating and all that stuff, standing your ground. We don't have that in California, but some states have that. But generally speaking, that is how it is in your own residence. Now, Tom, there have been many incidents of people that were in their own home and saw a shadow and fired at it, and it turned out to be their son who forgot his fucking keys and was jumping through the window or whatever. There are a lot of cases of a little slutty daughter, 16 or whatever, who sneaks her boyfriend into the house. And, you know, the father hears a noise, hears a man's voice or something, goes, oh, my God, someone's in the house, and takes aim and shoots the boyfriend or whatever. And, you know, generally speaking, I hate to tell you this, but statistically speaking, your gun is most likely to be used to harm yourself by you not knowing what you're doing,
right,
or committing suicide, or accidents with family members or children playing with it. I mean, it goes down the whole litany. You know, there is a real skill to it, and there really are issues. And, for example, if you came home, like, let me give you a small example, Tom. If you, God forbid, came to your house, and you start opening the front door, and it, like, opens, and you go, oh, my God, something's going on. You know, someone might be in my house. Would you clear your house? Or wouldn't it be better for you to have the police do it? Seriously, that's a skill. You know that thing where they go room to room and they kind of like, you know, prepared to shoot in each room and sort of like search a place? I mean, that is a very frightening thing to do. And that is something that, you know, you want to leave to someone who knows what they're doing. And I mean, you know, whatever you do in your career, law enforcement, you know, if they have any kind of training, are skilled at dealing with these kind of situations and confrontations. And you see how things change. The prospect of what we have now, you know, where you essentially pull a trigger, you push a button, and you have the ability to take someone's life instantaneously, and that is something that is inexorable and cannot be reversed. You know, you can't go over and go, oh, God, I messed up. Let me take that bullet back. It's a terrible thing. The question you have to really ask yourself, I mean, I think you live, particularly your rural house is in the country. And that was kind of classically, you know, Johnny with his rifle. And you got, I don't know, snakes and you got...
I got wild pigs.
Wild boar charging or whatever.
Got multiple packs of coyotes.
Okay.
I even had an antelope once.
Well, I think that most animals are probably scared of people. They're going to run away or whatever. I think you'd be surprising, you know, some of the aggressive actions of something like one of these pigs, like a boar. Or certainly coyotes are pretty intelligent, you know.
Right outside my property, they're a longhorn steer.
Yeah.
And they are not afraid of people.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly, you know, how that goes. That's something that I think you should be aware of. But I also think that that relates also to kind of the conquering of the West in the Americas, right, where if, you know, theoretically you called the police in a rural place or whatever, if you had a phone, you know, they might not come for, you know, an hour or more. So you're going to have to cope with whatever's going on.
Right.
I know you live alone, so you have a little less whatever. If you see someone in your house, probably they're not supposed to be there.
Well, let me give you the example of the thing that happened. We may have talked about this
before.
You had
something happen?
Well, we had the pit bull.
Oh, okay.
There was a pit bull on the property, the next door neighbor.
Yeah.
And... by the way, the next door neighbor also happened to be my insurance agent.
Great.
And so I envisioned a world where the pit bull comes, causes harm of some kind.
Right.
Then I have to talk to my insurance agent, who's the owner of the animal.
Wow.
So I fired him and hired
that's a
our
bizarre
friend Jeremy Rubin.
Well,
that's
thank God for Jeremy Rubin.
That's right.
That was probably a good move anyway.
Let's say, by
with
the way,
the
it was in every way. With the pit bull, if that pit bull is on my property again, can I nail it? Can I shoot it?
I have to tell you, when my kids were really little, we had like a porch or whatever out front, and I would sit with them, and you know the phone would ring, you know, and I would go get the phone or something, and you know I'm being a good parent, but I mean I might leave them alone, you know, for 30 seconds or a minute. And I had neighbors that were stupid that let their dogs run around, and it occurred to me that one of these dogs could come over to my property, start chewing up my kid, you know, which they would do probably, and the kid can't defend himself, and you know it could happen very fast. People always talk about when there's an incident how fast it happened.
Right.
You know, I went to the bathroom. It could have been more than a minute, and
right.
I came back and my kid was, you know, half dead from getting chewed up. Broadly speaking, you know, people talk about the sentimental value of animals. And that's actually not true. I don't know if you know that. But when you talk about your dog or your neighbor's dog, if you kill your neighbor's dog, they cannot collect $10 million for sentimental value. Dog is property, chattel, literally, in the sense of anything else you own. So, like a car. So, if you kill your neighbor's dog, you know, that's, you know, he's worth $50 or whatever, $100 dog. Even if he's some kind of purebred or whatever, I mean, that's the maximum that you could be liable. Now, it's also a question of, you know, discharging a firearm. So you're not supposed to just start, you know, firing with a machine gun at animals on your property. But it had to have been an issue where the dog was dangerous or threatening or barking at you or charging you or whatever. I think the dog
might
in this
be too
case,
late at that point.
Well, yeah, but I think the dog, as I recall, you had a photograph you showed me.
Yeah.
I think the dog was just kind of running around.
Well,
know,
no,
stupid.
Actually, it was running around in the opposite direction of where it had just been running, which was after a coyote, and it was trying to chew up the coyote.
But he wasn't necessarily, like, bothering you.
Not yet.
Right.
Not yet.
I think that's one of those 50-50 things. I think that you definitely have the right, certainly on your property and something like that, to go over there and shoot the dog. I really believe it.
If I don't shoot it, do I have the right to incarcerate it? Take it away?
I don't know what you're gonna do. You got one of those prongs to like grab the dog?
Who knows what? Maybe I've got a taser. Maybe I tase it. Maybe I have a tranquilizer dart. Maybe I drag it behind my shed and leave it there where nobody can see it.
I think you're in the right if he's on your property. I think the more concerning thing that I think about, which is human life, is, you know, when we're talking way beyond the mailman, when you have someone literally coming to, you know, to your residence to do you harm. And, you know, generally speaking, that is something that you are very much privileged in this country to deal with yourself. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with if this is threatening, if this person is unexpected, they're coming to rob you or harm you. You're certainly able to shoot them, Tom. And people don't know this, you know, in the movie sometimes.
So I don't have to wait until they've got both hands on my throat.
No, you really don't.
I have to wait until they come into my room.
But let me go further than that.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about in the movies, like I said, where, you know, like they shoot the guy in the leg or some shit like that. That's not how it works. You know, when you draw your gun, this is very important. This is one motion. You should think about this. When you draw your gun, you fire it. So this thing where, you know, the police aim the gun and they say, freeze, let me see your hands, you know. You know, as an individual civilian, you don't do that. If you pull your gun, you fire. And if you're shooting someone, you're shooting to kill. You're not aiming for the damn legs, okay? You're aiming for the chest area because you want to kill the person. And something that they say in Israel that I learned where I got firearms training was anything that's worth shooting once is worth shooting twice. Okay, so generally, when you shoot, you should shoot more than once.
Isn't that the Chicago Police's slogan?
I don't know.
Anything worth shooting once, worth shooting a dozen times.
Well, that's okay. I guess they expanded on the Israeli version. It was a little more modest. But, you know, so broadly speaking, you know, when you see these scenes with the police, let's say there was one particular guy where they fired at him like 46 times or whatever.
Right.
One of the things that they are trained, generally speaking, is you fire your whole magazine. And your magazine might have 8 shots or 12 shots or whatever it is, depending on the type of weapon. But when you talk about, you know, stopping power, there were incidents. I saw kind of terrorist things that happened in horrible things in like Jerusalem and stuff, where they shot the guy in the leg, and then they went over to try to, like, you know, see what's going on, because the guy was all messed up. He was on the ground, and he literally from the ground stabbed the person to death, you know, trying to help him or looking at him or whatever it was. So when you talk about stopping power, you do not want to just shoot someone to injure them or to slow them down. When they are in that situation and you've made the life or death decision to use the weapon, you pull it out, you fire, you know, many, you know, multiple shots until the person is disabled. If you look at what's happening now, this is something I wanted to talk about, and this is something that people have really got to think very carefully about. There's a lot of talk now, as you know, of course, Tom, about these different movements, Black Lives Matter, and these different incidents that happened. It's kind of strange. The Democratic convention now is having the mother of the guy from Missouri who was killed by the police, apparently rightfully. They did a whole investigation. He supposedly had his hands up, and turns out that wasn't true. That would be Michael Brown. They're having his mother speak to the convention as though he's some kind of hero or something, and the mother's going to talk about her loss of her son, which is tragic, of course, but not exactly completely unexpected, you know, depending on the circumstances. I'm always surprised when you watch these, you know, videos, and there are some videos of these sorts of interactions, how people with police aiming guns at them are, you know, arguing with the police and you know, challenging the police. You know, basically, when you talk about your interaction with the police, and I have to emphasize this to people in general, and I don't know if you want to consider the issue of racism, I would say this 10 times as strongly, particularly for young people under 25 are a special category that the police consider, I think, differently, and people certainly of color, black and Hispanic or whatever, people from other races and nationalities. You know, the police definitely are inclined to be reacting. And when you are pulled over in what they call a routine stop or whatever, you hear the police and they pull their guns and they start shouting, let me see your fucking hands. Let me see your hands. I mean, hands kill, you know. And if you've got, you know, some kind of thing, you got one hand digging around in the a lot of people, let's say, keep their insurance card in the glove compartment. They can't find it. They're digging for it. I mean, the chance of the police shooting you is actually quite high. And I think in terms of what you're talking about, Tom, with a civilian, I think it's even worse. I mean, you're untrained, you know, basically. And even if you go to some gun classes or whatever, I think you're much more likely to use your gun in a sense. And I don't mean you personally, but I mean, you know, someone who just has a gun in their house, they're much more likely to do it in a way that's more reckless in some ways, because they don't know and they don't have the same restraint that a policeman would have. I've been actually quite amazed in some of these videos where the cops were absolutely patient with someone who was really out of control and arguing with them, and you know, the officer is totally freaked out and shouting at the guy, but ultimately doesn't shoot the guy. And you know, you have to really wonder today, and this is what I meant about kind of philosophically. I don't know how do you, I would certainly respect your analysis of this, Tom. Do you see things as getting crazier? Because you know that crime rates, statistically speaking, have gone down unbelievably in the past 20 and 25 years and so forth.
Right. I think that what has happened is that we've got half a dozen cable news networks that are on 24 hours a day and have a lot of time to fill. And there were stories that at one time would have been local stories that somebody was shot. I see stories all the time that, well, it's tragic that someone was murdered, but people are murdered every minute of every day in this country. And are all of these stories really news? I don't think so. So I think we're aware of a lot more than we used to be. I mean, it used to be, you know, you'd sit down at 6:30 with your grandmother and watch Walter Cronkite or Dan Rather or whatever, and then that's it. You'd check out until tomorrow at 6:30, and they only had 22 minutes of content to fill, and so they had to be very selective about what went on the news. And now, For example, ever since CNN moved to New York City, it's like a local New York TV station. It's got coverage of everything that happens in New York.
So CNN was in Atlanta originally, right?
Yeah.
So they became much more centered on New York.
Well, they were bought by, you remember, Time Warner and merged right. with AOL.
Of course, of course.
Time Warner was based in Columbus Circle in New York City.
And they bought Turner or whatever, Turner Broadcasting.
Well, that was a long time ago, but, Time Warner also owns HBO, which is in New York City. There's a heavy concentration of their content originating in New York City. So they moved CNN, the headquarters, and most of the production comes out of Columbus Circle
right.
in the Time Warner building. And so now, you know, if there's a snowstorm and Mayor Bloomberg's going to shut down the L train, they carry that on CNN like it's a national story.
I think also the country is very large. And so if you just look at it, you know, as a matter of random circumstances, every day something's going on.
Well, I do believe that these things were always going on. But I think that now there's a lot of time that has to be filled, and a lot of these stories that would not have been national stories now are. So you could get the impression that people are getting gunned down one after another,
right.
even though the crime statistics say that there's less crime now than there's been in 25 years.
But the people are also sensitive to, I think, some of the stuff, for example, that seems to be going on in Europe especially, where there are these attacks by terrorists and ISIS on the move and... I saw something on TV the other day. They were saying that ISIS has people in, you know, all 50 states of the United States or whatever, and they're planning all kinds of attacks or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're talking about, you live in Santa Barbara County, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel unsafe at your house?
No.
I mean, seriously, is there a lot of crime in your neighborhood?
No. No.
So why do you want a gun?
Because of animals, not because of people.
Literally because of animals.
Literally because of animals. I'm not worried about people.
Okay.
I'm talking about the other people who are calling and writing, and they are saying, the world's getting crazier. I finally went out myself. I did it. I bought a gun.
But Tom, you know, if you look at every time, particularly like the gun control types like Obama, makes a speech about gun control, and he's made a few lately after some of the school shootings, and so forth, and some of these terrorist attacks, he'll say, we got to start regulating whatever bullets or sales or whatever. The gun sales thereafter immediately rise.
They do.
Because people perceive, I got
to
buy a gun.
You
it's my last
something?
Chance.
You want to know something, Adam? Here's a good money-making tip for you.
Really?
Every time the president gives an address on gun control, you buy those stocks, Smith & Wesson.
Because people are running to buy guns.
Every time.
Right.
It's like I buy Home Depot and Lowe's after a hurricane. You're guaranteed to make money.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You know, so yes, I've owned Smith & Wesson more than once.
Well, in terms of my work, Tom, I think you've got to be smart about what you do. I personally wouldn't shoot the neighbor's dog if I could avoid
you
it.
You wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't. I think that's going to cause problems with you and the neighbor.
So what would you have me do, sue the neighbor because he can't control his dangerous animal?
I think that you have to get into a conversation, first of all.
Already did. He denied he owned the dog. That's the level of conversation we're
having. Well, then he's a schmuck.
Right.
And maybe at that point, I think that in particular, you shoot the dog if he's threatening you, if he's seems to be attacking you. If he's attacking your dog, for example, or something, you don't have a dog, right? But if you are defending your children or your family or yourself, I think it's legit. Generally speaking, whatever it is, you're trying to be neighborly. If he's swearing to you that it's not his dog, then he's a schmuck. Then he's stupid.
Right.
Then you really probably could just get rid of the dog.
He also lied to animal control and told them he doesn't own the dog.
All right, well, something's wrong with him.
Yeah. And the reality is, he has a son, an adult son, who's autistic, who he owns the dog, and he frequently is living on the property with the dog, roaming free.
So the, wait a minute now.
The son.
The son, the autistic son owns the dog.
Right.
30
years old or something.
Do you ever have a talk with him?
This is a guy who I have frequently found, literally, riding on his skateboard backwards downhill. I have heard gunfire on their property.
I see.
He's problematic.
All right. He's got some issues. Okay.
And owns a pit bull that he lets roam free.
All right. But if the father is saying it's not his dog, you say to him, isn't it your son's dog?
We went down this road. He denies there is a dog.
Okay. Well, he's screwed up, and I would tend to try to have some sympathy towards the son, who may have some mental problems of some sort.
Well, until he comes out and guns me down,
right.
And I'm not going to have any sympathy for him anymore.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Tom. If you kill his dog, you're definitely going to make the list. So that may not be
the smart
way to do it.
They'd have to know that I did it.
Okay.
I've got a shovel. One day that dog is never coming home again.
Shovel and some quick lime.
And that's all I need.
Well, that's fascinating. In terms of criminal law, you know, one of my hobbies, Tom, is to try to keep you out of trouble.
Right.
So I would say, broadly speaking, that if it's kind of self-contained and it's your own thing, within reason, you can do these things. You could, kill the dog. You could poison him or shoot him or whatever. Particularly if he's on your property and he's disturbing you. I wouldn't do it the first time if I could avoid it, but you've obviously done your due diligence. You tried to talk to these people. You tried to be a good neighbor. You tried to discuss it with them. I don't know about talking to the handicapped guy. And, I mean, you have to have a little more patience and forbearance and understanding with people that have issues like that. But certainly the father is the adult there, and he's the one who's, together, and he should be dealing with himself and his son. And if he's going so far as to say that it's not even something he's aware of, then he's really completely nuts. I would say that you are you're within your rights. Now, generally speaking, and this is my message, I guess, tonight in terms of people dealing today, these are strange times. These are tense times. We had an incident in the past few weeks where someone who's hateful of the police in Dallas, Texas, literally set them up to come to some kind of a call, and then shot five police officers right dead, and then shot several others, seriously injuring them. That's something new, Tom. That's something where people are targeting the police. That's pretty heavy stuff. And I was surprised in some ways. I know that there's animosity and so forth. But some of the stuff that I saw on television, and again, maybe as you say, this is taken out of context and exaggerated, but they definitely showed people that had unbelievable hostility towards the police. I mean, I don't know if it's within proportions. I actually saw kind of a thing that they did on one of the shows where they had like a panel, and one of the women there was from like Chicago, one of the tough neighborhoods. And she's some kind of a community activist, and she was saying that we literally should disband the police, and get into like community surveillance or something where the community takes care of itself or something like that. And I thought she was drunk or something, but she was actually serious. And there definitely is a sense of this thing. And what you have to look at, from the public's point of view, and these are the people that I represent and my clients and so forth, and, people like you, just listeners today to the show, is that the police are aware of this too. I mean, the police have briefings, and the police are concerned, and they have a sense that there's a greater distrust and greater hostility and animosity. And you've got to be really smart about it. And I would say, especially, if you were a young black person getting pulled over, this thing where, you start arguing with the cop, well, why the F did you pull me over? And it's because I'm black. And you've got to be out of your mind. You should not be doing that. You really want to be in the position where the police officer pulls you over and you roll down your window and you have your hands on the steering wheel. At the 10 and the 2, that's not a joke. Good evening, officer. Is there a problem? I mean, I really think that being cooperative will get you a long way. I don't know if it's white privilege or whatever, but my experience has been that I've gotten pulled over, many a time for various situations, driving mostly. I made a turn on a red light or whatever the hell it was. And I've just been courteous, and I get away with a warning 9 times out of 10.
Right.
That's happened to you, right?
Of course.
Now, you had a little celebrity help a couple of times, right?
A couple of times I did.
But you also just had the just courteous, right?
Yes.
I think that when you cop an attitude, I think that the cops are much more on their guard, but they're also more inclined to really slam you.
Right.
And I think that's especially true for young people, and I think that this is something that they are now hyper-attuned to. So, you know, I am always surprised when I go to the hearings, and, you know, these are all kinds of, you know, misdemeanors or tickets or whatever, there is definitely a difference. I sit down with the cop and I say, look, what happened here? It's not that big a deal. And the cop will tell me, you know, your client was really nasty, and so I'm not letting this go. Or the opposite. I've had a lot of cops tell me, eh, this was no big deal. You know, I don't care. The hell with it. Let's just dismiss it. And that has a lot to do, I think, with their memory, because they remember the person. They write notes to themselves. And if you come off as a jerk, they are much more likely to essentially get revenge on you. You know, we see that in this country especially, prosecution, and this is something people have to always remember, you know, when you're the victim of a crime, when you go to court, it's not you against the person who hurt you. It's the state against the person that hurt you. And the prosecutor is not your lawyer. The prosecution represents the people, because the people of that state or the federal government, the citizens of the United States, are offended that you broke in the peace of the country, okay, or the peace of your state. And so when you look at what happened to Hillary Clinton, who obviously committed many, many felonies with that email thing that she did, where she had her own email server, you see how the FBI and the Attorney General of the United States have to decide whether or not they're going to prosecute. And in her case, for a lot of political reasons, they decided not to. And you would be amazed how many cases on the local level either do get prosecuted or do not get prosecuted for all kinds of political reasons. Now, you saw that guy who was put in the back of a police van in Baltimore.
Right.
And ended up...
Freddie Gray,
right? Ended up breaking his back and injuring himself and dying in police custody. And the prosecutor, this kind of young, brash black woman, said, I hear you, referring to the crowd that was furious, and I'm going to, you know, really stick it to them. And she prosecuted multiple police officers, some who were only peripherally involved, and she charged them with murder and manslaughter and, like, really heavy, heavy stuff. And, you know, one by one, they were acquitted. Their cases have been dismissed, and they've had acquittals. And you have to look at the way that the prosecution works, and it is selective. And I have to say that my experience has been, this is why I tell people, with the police, you got to be polite and you got to shut up. The ones that follow that and are smart about the situations that they're in, even if you're drunk and stoned, if you can just keep a straight face and try to handle yourself properly, you're going to be the one that I'm going to be able to get a deal, and it's going to disappear. And if you are an asshole and you cop an attitude with the cops, they will remember you. And we're going to go to court, and I'm going to try to make a deal, and the cop's going to say, uh-uh, not that guy. No way. I remember him. He was a complete creep. He was very difficult for me to deal with, and he was doing these things. Now, back to your story. I think if you were a bum living in Los Olivos or whatever it is, I think you would be treated a lot differently than a proper homeowner. And when the circumstance comes up that your neighbor calls the police and wants to press charges against you for shooting the dog or whatever you did, you're going to end up being fine, because you are going to deal with it in a professional way. You're going to say to the cops, here's my lawyer's phone number. I don't know what he's talking about. And that's going to be the end of it, okay? Mm-hmm. If the cop comes to your front door, hello, officer, what's up? Why are you here? Can I offer you a drink, right? You know, if you had the cop come to your door and you say, hey, get the hell off my property, or I'll shoot you too. You know?
I couldn't imagine myself saying something like that in a million years. Now, while we're on the subject of crime,
yes.
I'm going to take a break here because we got calls coming in. We want to get to those. Okay. I was involved...
Uh-oh,
in
what's
an incident
now?
Today.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have just recently at my Hollywood Hills home invested in a new HD 12-camera security system.
Right.
So today, this morning, around 11:24 a.m., to be exact, 11:24:09.
Really exact here.
Somebody showed up at my property,
oh,
and there
Jesus,
she is,
Tom.
Opening my gate, my side gate, and coming in and looking around.
Are you freaking kidding me?
You see that?
What the fuck is that?
All right, now, but I've got another
Tom's photo. Showing me a little picture here of, I have seen your house, so I know what the front looks like. This is a lady kind of, well, the gate, she's not exactly trespassing, right?
Well, she did. This is just a freeze
frame. That's your front door there.
That's my front door.
So she's kind of on the porch.
She just noticed she's on camera. Look at the look on her
face.
Yeah,
yeah, and she's filming too.
No, she's on the phone talking to someone.
Oh, isn't this the area where the lady took the pee?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so there we go.
Yes.
Do we know this person, Tom?
No, we don't.
Uh-huh.
No, we don't.
So she could be selling magazines door to door here.
Well, she could be, but I suspect she's not, because there she was looking around on my property, see what's going on.
Jesus.
So,
So what happened after that? Do you have the video after she left?
I called the police.
Were you home?
I was home.
Oh.
She pressed that button
she
and
rang
talked
the doorbell?
To me. Yeah, well, she didn't. I don't. You know, like when people call you and they hope they get voicemail? I think she was hoping I was not home. Then I answered.
Yeah.
Then, sounding like a tweaker or like a crazy person, she says, "Is Sherry there?"
Uh-huh.
And nobody named Sherry has ever been at my house,
right.
Lives at my house.
No Sherry.
Asked the second time for Sherry, and I said, "There is no Sherry here."
Uh-huh.
Then she said, "Is this Hollywood Boulevard?" Now, I live on a street that's the width of a driveway.
Right.
It's not a boulevard
of any
kind. Not
Hollywood Boulevard by any means.
No.
Okay.
So
that's bizarre.
Look how nice and sharp that photo is.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's when she realized she was being
videoed. You know who
videoed.
That is. I'll be posting that later, by the way, in
yeah,
case anybody knows who that is.
That's definitely born for the internet.
Isn't that great? So,
she looks troubled, Tom. I don't know if that's a...
Well, I have
a bag of burglary tools.
Put
there.
It this way, because I may be testifying against her in court, I'm not going to tell you what I think she was doing, but I will certainly be telling it to the judge.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well...
Yes.
I'm hoping, generally speaking, Tom, that it wasn't because it was you.
Oh, no. She was going
some
from
stupid
she
person.
She was going door to door, pushing on front door and see if they would open.
I much prefer that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So
I hate to have you singled out as someone actually knew your address and was actually looking for you
for
some screwed up reason.
Not
like
in
that.
This case.
Well, like that chick who did the pee thing. I think that was
right.
That was on
By
purpose.
The way, these cameras, we would have her nailed dead to rights. I had cameras that were from 2002.
Kind of blurry, right?
Well, there was no HD in 2002. And now there is. So I've got the HD cameras.
All right.
Yes. So,
that's good. We guess they're posting these on the internet.
Oh, these are getting posted.
Tom's front yard and backyard.
I'm just asking if anybody knows who this is. That's all.
Somebody knows her.
I'll bet they do. I will take a break. We will come back with Adam Sachs. Criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs is here in studio. And if you've got questions for Adam right now, maybe somebody accused you of knocking on somebody's front door and being up to no good. Or maybe you were accused of a DUI. Maybe you were drunk. Maybe you were accused of smoking weed. There you are. You're like me. You have a card. You're legal.
Right.
But maybe you got busted anyway.
Here. Maybe you forgot the card at home.
Maybe you forgot the card at home or the physician's recommendation or whatever. All that paperwork. Unbelievable. One day I'm just going to roll a joint with that paperwork. That's what I'm going to do. Anyway, if you'd like to talk to Adam, here's how you do it. You call this number right now. 901-3000-TOM is the number. 901-3000-TOM to talk to criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Free legal advice for you. If only you'd call 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass.
Download the Tom Likas app.
Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. Bonus hour. With criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Your phone calls. Let's go. Here comes Anthony in Orange County. Anthony, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Right on. Hey, I went to Las Vegas this weekend with my wife. hot little blonde chick, you know. We went to the Golden Nugget. We reserved, you know, a bed at the Golden Nugget there, at the adult pool. We're just kicking back in the pool all day, drinking Coronas, having a grand old time. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere, this ghetto guy, and he says, "Hey, you stole my glasses to my lady." So I jump in front of him. I'm all, "Dude, don't talk to my lady like that. Get the fuck out of here. We didn't even, we don't even know you. Those are my glasses. We both have nice glasses on." We're all, "Get out of here. I don't need to steal your glasses." So then he goes and gets security. Next thing I know, there's like six security guards coming at me and my lady, telling them we stole their glasses.
Wow.
We're like, "What?" We're just sitting there relaxed. We haven't even moved out of the pool the whole time, you know, basically. And so they start harassing me, and I go, "Hey, you know what? Until you have proof, and then until you show me on a video that I stole these guys' glasses, I'm not saying nothing else to you. You guys just leave me the hell alone, you know?" So the guy starts acting like a security guard, all like a dick and stuff, and then I'm like, "You know what? Fuck you, dude. You're embarrassing me in front of this whole place. You know, get out of my face." So he ends up kicking me out of the hotel.
Wow.
Yeah. So I say, you know, so I'm like all pissed off. So as I'm walking out of the escorted by police or security guards, whatever they were, I walk by the pool, and there's that guy that blamed me. So I fucking flip him off, and I tell him, "Fuck you. You know, I'm pissed, you know, because I'm getting kicked out, and I didn't even do nothing." And then security guards jump me, basically, escort me by my arms up to my room, sit there while I load up everything, me and my wife here. And then they escort us to the front desk. I call the bellboy to get my bags and stuff like that. And then my, because they're going to tell me I have to check out. Well, then, I gave my wife the key to, or the valet key to get my vehicle. And she went outside to get my vehicle, and so I started to try to talk to the manager there to get my money back because they're kicking me out for no reason, and ask for everybody's name so I can, you know, get a lawyer or whatever I have to do. And then the guy, the manager, the security that kicked me out, he comes up to me right there in front of the manager, and he goes, "Dude, you were causing a disturbance, and you're out of here. That's all there is to it." I said, "Well, what's your name? I'm going to report you, too." He said, "You know what? I'm done with you." And he said, "Cuff him." And they cuffed me. They threw me.
What about de-escalating the situation, remember?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, no, you know, but also, then it sounds like you were being a little bit belligerent, no? Weren't you, cursing and so forth?
Well, I flipped them off, you know. That's freedom of speech, right? I can flip anybody I want off.
I know, but that's not de-escalating, you know?
No, it's not just de-escalating, but, dude, I'm a guest there, and you're going to blame me for stealing
some
glasses?
I'm with you. I think the smart thing to do maybe when they first approached you is say, "Look, I didn't steal this guy's glasses, and that's it. Leave me alone." But obviously they had some connection to him. They had some reason that they were tending to believe him. Let me ask you this. Did you put these reservations and whatnot on a credit card?
Yes, I did.
Well, there you go. Probably at this point, the smart thing to do is to contact your credit card company and tell them that you didn't get the services that you paid for, and they can do a chargeback for you. That would be probably the smartest thing. You didn't get arrested or anything, right?
Yeah, that's my next thing I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, geez. Okay, I'm sorry.
Dude.
I missed the end here.
Yeah, so then I tell that guy, "You know what, fuck you, you don't want to give me my money? My wife's out getting my vehicle, so we're leaving." You know, they escorted us out, basically.
Why are you cursing at everybody, you know? Isn't it better just to go and not make a scene?
It is, but I'm not, you know, that type of guy, I guess. I'm a kind of aggressive guy, and I'm pissed off at this point, you know what I mean? Yeah, you're right.
You're going to pay the price, what can I tell you?
Yeah, I did. I ended up in jail for the night, and they charged me with misdemeanor trespassing.
Uh-huh.
When I was leaving, they were escorting me out. The only thing is I flipped this guy off, so he took it mad, took it personal, and then arrested me.
Okay.
So here I am in jail overnight. Till 8 o'clock, my wife bails me out that night, but in Vegas, I got to be there till 8 o'clock the next morning in this dirty jail, man. Like, imagine a McDonald's bathroom in the worst part of town. I had to sleep on the floor there, dude.
I know. So is that worth being an aggressive kind of guy?
No, but, you know, why should I be treated like that and my wife's being harassed and then I have to kiss their ass? What kind of world is this?
No, no. Listen,
I can go up to...
It's not fair what happened to you. I'm with you. I understand. But in all seriousness, I don't know what happened. Somehow they believe that guy. I don't know why. Maybe they knew him or some BS or you rubbed them wrong somehow. But it seems to me that the smart thing to do is to say, okay, fine, I'm not welcome here. Take your stuff and leave. To make a big scene of it in front of everybody and flip this one and curse at that one, that's not smart. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, okay?
Well, I know it's not smart, but it's not legal either.
No, I think this thing about somehow they challenged your manhood in front of your wife or something, I mean, that's silly. Now you're going to have to deal with a trespassing charge, and you stayed a night in a filthy jail? I mean, come on. What's worth that? Seriously.
It's not worth it, you're right. But I'm, you know, I don't think I was treated right either.
All right, well, now you're going to have to explain the whole situation. So you got a court date coming up?
Well, yeah, I have to go back in a month, so that's what I'm wondering.
Well, that's
a misdemeanor trespass. What do I do?
That's stupid. You could spend 6 months to a year in jail for stupid stuff like that.
So, yeah, so what do I do? Get a lawyer, go back, what do I have to do?
You get my phone number from Dino, and you call me after the show. And I'll help
I'll
out. But I'm just saying, if you look at the situation, remember Tom and I were talking before about these circumstances and de-escalation? You have to remember, the police have a lot of discretion. And prosecutors have a lot of discretion. And the way you behave is really important. Now, I understand you're on vacation and you were intoxicated, but you yourself were saying to me just now, I'm not the kind of guy that backs down, or that's not the kind of guy I am. I don't know what that means. You know, if you think about your life, is it really worth some pissing contests with some schmucky guy that you're never going to see again who means absolutely nothing to you? You got to flip him off to, like, show him? Who cares? I think the smart move, especially, you know, I don't want to be where I'm not wanted. If I'm in some hotel and they say, hey, you're an asshole, you're making too much noise, whatever, I pack my bag and I look at, come on, Las Vegas, come on, go next door, there's another 10 hotels, you know?
Good luck. Thank you, Anthony. We'll put you on with Dean, and Dean will put you in touch with Adam.
So there's the escalation, Tom.
Yes. Here's Rod in Winnetka. Rod, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Tom and... Adam, how are you
doing?
Hey,
Rod, how are
you?
Great. Adam, this is an interesting scenario. I posed this question to a couple of law enforcement friends of mine, and they didn't really have anything to say at it. That's a pretty ugly situation. And here's the scenario. Let's just hypothetically imagine this. There's a crazy guy in a busy parking lot waving a knife around, threatening people.
Right.
And let's say you have a concealed permit, or you are a security guard, armed security guard, or you could even be a police officer. And you draw your gun, justifiably so, and tell these guys to drop the knife. So here's the problem. The guy does that. He throws the knife on the ground. You have the gun trained on him, and now he charges at you with
right.
no knife in hand anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't... That,
at this
yeah.
point, you cannot shoot an unarmed man,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you actually can. You know,
you can?
No, of course. There's actually an incident. I'm trying to remember where it was. Maybe Chicago. There was a guy mm-hmm. who had a pen knife, and
yeah.
I think he was a black guy, and he had some mental problems or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't charge. He just had the pen knife, and they were telling him to drop it. He wouldn't drop it, and they shot him
mm-hmm.
several times and killed him.
Yeah.
And that was considered justified, appropriate use of force. And,
that's correct, because that falls into the 21-foot rule, and you know, that can be proven easily. But when a guy crosses the
knife... No, I understand,
knife,
but when you... Hold on. when you're in a threatening situation, and you also said
yeah.
a couple of different things. You said it could have been you as a citizen with a gun. It could have
right.
been an off-duty police officer, let's say.
Right, right.
Or a police officer on duty, which is obviously the most extreme. But
or a security guard.
A
armed.
Security guard is different. You know,
sure.
generally speaking... The question is the context. And if the guy
right.
had a pen knife and he was, I don't know, what was he saying? Was he saying, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to stab you, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to get even, you know, whatever. If he makes threatening
yeah,
comments and then he
New
charges
York.
You, you know, you got to remember, you don't know that he's disarmed. He
right.
may
he
have dropped
another one on him.
Yeah, he may have dropped a pen knife, but he also may have something else, like a gun or who knows
right.
what else, another knife.
Okay.
There's every reason for you to be afraid. He's already used deadly force because he had a knife, And if he charges you, I think you have every reason to, you know, obviously be concerned for your personal safety, and that is the justification. And this is what we're talking about, the justification for using deadly force in kind.
So that's justifiable homicide at that point.
I mean, I can't tell you the final analysis, and as I've said a couple of times on this show today, there's a lot of discretion. There's a lot of analysis that goes into these things. But broadly speaking, yeah, of course. And by the way, let me ask, who are you? Let's say you're a regular citizen. Are you with your child? So you're defending your young child? Are you defending your wife? Or are you alone? How old are you? Are you in your 70s? You're an old man. So, you know, if the guy knocks you over and he charges you, are you going to be very badly hurt? Or close was he to you? Obviously, you talk about these 21-foot rules or whatever. These are just, you know, theories, but you know there's always the totality of circumstances. And what I said to Tom at the beginning of the show is really important. Do you have a door behind you? So in other words, do you have an ability to escape, or are you cornered?
Yeah.
No, are you able to get away? In other words, if this guy runs towards you, if you turn and run, are you able to run somewhere safe, or is there a freaking brick wall behind you?
Right.
So you don't have a place to run to.
I understand. So there's a lot of other things that are going to come into the context of the situation.
Absolutely.
It's not a cut and dry thing.
See, the reason that the police get in trouble, and this is a big problem, obviously, there's a big analysis that the public does, and everyone, commissioners and analysis and judges and juries and everything. But generally, when the police officer is in the situation, he has to make a split-second decision.
Right.
And these are horrible things, because later on people sit there and go over it and they say, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that. That's all Monday morning quarterbacking, you know?
Right.
When you're in the circumstance, you have very little time to decide, and you have to decide a horrible decision, which is to take someone's life or to, you know, and then later on, oh my God, it turned out it was a plastic gun, or it was, he didn't have any weapon at all, but his hand was in his pocket, or was it, you know, or it seemed like he was reaching for something and it turned out to be nothing. I mean, who the hell knows?
Well, when you're under the adrenal dump, your judgment kind of goes
away. By
the way,
that's also very true.
Yeah, and there
was an incident in New York City where the cops were in the Bronx, and there are these little kind of like steps that lead to a door, and one of the cops, there was like ice, and he slipped on the step, and he fell backwards a little, and the other cop thought that he had been shot.
Wow.
So in other words, the guy slipped and fell, and the cop saw him fall backwards and said, oh my God, that guy's just been shot, his partner, and so he shot this other guy, who I think was handing him his wallet or something, his ID. So that's horrible. These things happen.
Yeah, which, you know, the adrenal dump comes back into play on the beginning of the show, talking about people getting guns for personal defense at home. And if they don't train somewhat mimicking the circumstances, you know, like I see people that shooting range aiming with one eye closed. Well, I got news for you. Under adrenal dump, your brain will not allow your eye to close.
No, that's true.
You're going to have both eyes open.
No, you don't shoot with one eye closed anyway.
No.
Just like you don't hold a gun with two hands. That's another thing.
That's
people cradle
exactly
the gun with a second hand. But leaving all that aside, I mean, you know, the stress of the circumstances, and it's disorientating, and maybe you were awoken from your sleep and you don't have good lighting and your heart starts pounding, you know, you're not at your best.
Well, you get tunnel vision, you got auditory exclusion to deal with, you lose your fine motor skills.
There
so there's a lot of things that come into play right there.
Yeah, and then you make a life or death decision that's going to affect things for the rest of the world, right?
Right.
The rest of time.
Now, on the lighter side, two idiots, this is a true story, two idiots at a bar were arguing over the football game and, you know, the breaking the bottle thing you're talking about.
Right.
One idiot breaks the bottle, the other idiot breaks the glass, and they start screaming because they both cut each other's, their own hands.
Yeah. Of course. You know how many people reach for their gun and shoot themselves in the foot?
Yeah, they do. I know. It's
it happens all the time.
Yep.
Especially Glocks, they got the safety on the trigger.
Those guns are dangerous, man.
Rod, thank you. Here is Jeff in Queen Creek, Arizona. Jeff, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, it's going okay. I wanted to give you a call and get your opinion on something.
Sure.
I got stopped for solicitation for prostitution on early Saturday morning.
Uh-oh.
And I thought it was a little weird, so I want to get your take on it. I didn't get arrested. I didn't get handcuffed.
Really?
The guy just, well, I think he was a cop. He just asked me a few questions, saw my ID, looked in the car.
He wrote you a ticket?
He didn't write me a ticket. No, he said something about a long form.
Yeah.
He said that up to within 90 days, they can send you a subpoena in the mail.
Yeah, you're going
to
get something in the mail.
And
well, what's the incident? You started talking to some person on the side of the road?
No. I just picked up this chick I'd seen once before. We went to an apartment complex, by a dumpster. And the guy didn't have I never saw a cop car. He just had a flashlight, had all the gear on. He just kind of flashed his light in the front seat, so we had to get out.
So she wasn't a policewoman. She was a real prostitute?
No, she was a real prostitute, yeah. Uh-huh. She wasn't police.
So he just saw you doing something with her in the car?
Correct.
Yeah.
My windows are tinted, but he had his light, so I guess he saw her.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, should I get a lawyer now so it never gets to court? Because he told me that they just kind of...
Well,
50-50 whether you even get charged.
Yeah, it is discretionary. Yeah, I'm with you. It's good that you spoke to me. I got a lot of people who call me with stuff that might happen just like this, So I know who you are, and, you want to put me on retainer or whatever, it doesn't really matter. Basically, like he said, it's not 90 days, it's up to a year. But theoretically...
Yeah, I saw that online, yeah.
Theoretically, you'll get something in the mail that refers to, you've been cited for so-and-so, and you need to come to so-and-so local courthouse at such and such day and time, and when you get that letter, that's when you need to hire me, because you do not go to that hearing by yourself. You need a lawyer. A lot of people go to the hearing, they don't understand, they think they're going to explain it to the judge or something. That is not how you do business. You have to definitely have an attorney. If that happens, listen, you never know, you might get a break, and somehow it wasn't a clear enough picture, or it wasn't vague, or whatever. And like I said, and I mentioned this before a few times today, that there's a big discretionary aspect, and sometimes they decide not to prosecute certain crimes, even if they think they may have a case, or there are different reasons that they won't prosecute them. And so you might just catch a break, and you'll never even know, and you'll never get a letter, and it's like it never happened, and God bless, okay? But if you do get a letter, and it's talking about come to court, a lot of people throw the letter away, or they don't want to deal with it, or they don't hire a lawyer, and they go by themselves to court. That's the big mistake right there. The other thing I would tell you, if you really want to be with prostitutes, first of all, we live near a state, Nevada, where it's legal. So I recommend you go there. Seriously, there's no reason to do it illegal. You can go to Mexico and Tijuana and whatnot. I think it's also pretty accepted there. Other than that, I would emphasize looking at advertisements online, like on Craigslist or the erotic review, that kind of thing, rather than picking up someone in the street. That's really the lowest. And that really upsets communities. They get upset. Like near my office, a few, not that close, thank God, but my office is near the courthouse in Van Nuys. But a few streets away, there's like this hospital, and outside there are like places where prostitutes meet and so forth. And people that live in the neighborhood get really upset. So they call the police. The police try to discourage it. If you go and pick up a prostitute like that off the side of the road, you're much more exposed. It's much more likely for the police to see your car and photograph you and deal with you and arrest you. I think if you do it online and then you meet discreetly at a hotel or an apartment or whatever, I think it's a lot safer, I think, to do it that way. And certainly in places, nearby that are legal, such as, Mexico and Nevada or Costa Rica or whatever, that certainly would probably be the smart move. So be smart about it, too. And if you do get the letter, I'll be happy to help you with it.
That would be great. I had another question.
Sure.
Also, when I was driving, he was really concerned about her not being like off of the street that night.
Right. You see, this is what I'm talking about. They don't. It's not so much what you've done. I know it's crazy. And having sex with her, whatever you did behind a dumpster, that's stupid. People are looking out their window and seeing that. That's why he's saying he doesn't want her on the street, right?
Well, no. We were inside a car, tinted windows. So somebody must have called
and said
in the car
I'm saying.
Sitting there.
Even if you're, what I mean, okay? Whatever, wherever you were in someone's front yard, okay? And someone along the line didn't like it. Wouldn't you think?
Oh, no, definitely. Most definitely. But the thing that Hooker was mad about was that I guess he took all her money or something.
Yeah, mean, huh?
And she was mad about it, and I told her that's the best I could do. I mean, he took $10 out of my wallet too, but I wasn't complaining about
it. I don't know why he took your money, and I don't know why he took her money. I know that there have been many reported incidents of the cops taking the hookers and then having sex with them, you know, and telling them, you know, you're going to have to do it with me and I'll let you go or whatever. I hope that that doesn't happen too often, but they don't get treated very well by the cops. That's for sure.
All right, Jeff, good luck. I'm going to take a break. We come back. I'm going to tell you how to get in touch with Adam. You may have an issue that needs some serious work, and Adam will do that with you. So don't go anywhere.
Coast to coast, around the world, and across the universe, this is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Here we are with defense attorney Adam Sachs. And Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
That would be nice. It was working before.
But we had to go to the break, so it had to be turned off.
Hello, am I on now?
After the break, you turn it back on. You know you're on. You're hearing it in your headphones.
Well, Tom, you can call me toll-free.
That's why you wear headphones.
I don't know why I wear headphones. You know, you were doing it, so I started doing it.
No. Well, here's why, Adam. I'm going to give you a demonstration in our continuing lessons in Radio 101. Let's say you didn't have your headphones on.
Right.
Let's say I leaned over to get this bottle over here.
Yeah.
I don't
hear you. I heard you.
Now you hear me.
Right.
But when you're off mic, you can't hear. The mic you have to talk right into, and then you need headphones to know you're on the air.
Okay, so why do all the people that are doing, like, the conventions, like, you know,
They have earpieces.
No, they have headphones then.
Well, it's noisy in that arena.
So how does a headphone help?
You crank the volume up.
Okay.
You want to hear yourself. You don't want to hear the crowd. You want to hear what you're saying. What if you misspeak?
How do you not hear yourself?
Have you ever been at a, like, the Staples Center? Ever been there during
an
event?
Sure.
It's noisy.
Well, I can hear myself.
Sometimes you can and sometimes you can't.
There's even that thing they call the cocktail party effect.
Plus, I'm talking to, my voice needs to be heard clearly. Everything I'm saying needs to be heard clearly.
But
sometimes you are not listening to yourself, and you do not notice it. You leave out a word, or you slur a word, or you left out a thought. You don't know unless you're wearing headphones.
The cocktail party effect, as I understood, and I think it's true, if you're in a noisy environment and you're talking to someone who's right next to you, you can hear them. Because your brain focuses in on what they're saying.
Yes, but that's your ears. These are microphones we're talking about. And microphones are not as specific. They're not listening for specific things. They just pick up whatever comes down the pike. And if there is a louder noise than your voice, the microphone will pick that up instead of your voice.
If there was a louder noise in this area,
think
and
about
I was concentrating on you,
think
I'd
about
hear
how
you.
Many trillions of dollars have been wasted on headphones. If only they'd listen to you. Believe it. I've been in this business my whole life. You need headphones.
Okay. I saw Apple bought
and
Beats for like billions.
It wasn't worth it. Beats headphones are shit.
Oh, well.
They're shit.
And they're very
popular.
They are
plastic. That's because people don't know anything about what they're buying.
I don't know, man.
And Dr. Dre's name is on it. They're going to buy it.
Did you see the police? You know, we didn't mention this. The police came to his house because they said they saw a black man with a gun, and they put handcuffs on the guy at his own house in Malibu.
It's not the first time that's happened.
Well, but Dr. Dre was a good guy.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But anyway,
you need headphones because here's what always happens.
Yes.
Somebody's sitting in the studio, and they look away to type in their computer, and they're typing.
I can hear you fine.
Well, you're not hearing me through the headphones. You're hearing me through the, you know, outside the headphones.
No one else is hearing you.
The listener is not hearing me.
Right.
You need the headphones to know if the listener is hearing you.
But isn't that why we have Mikey? Mikey is doing the sound check.
No, but there's nothing Mike can do. If you're not on the microphone, nothing Mike can do. There's nothing he can do. You have to be talking into the microphone.
He's got
he
a
can
screen
make it a little louder.
With all this audio output.
That has nothing to do with it.
You wouldn't believe what he can do.
Not that.
Okay.
He can only work with what he's given, and if you don't talk into the microphone, it doesn't matter. He can't fix that. it.
I thought he could fix
anything. He can fix it if it's a little loud or a little low. If I come in and I've got allergies, my voice is shot one day, he can crank it up and do some tricks with it. But if I don't put my lips right near this microphone, and if I don't know my lips are not right near this microphone, there's nothing he can do about it.
Okay.
That's how it works.
All right.
It goes back 75, 80, 90 years. People wear headphones. That's how it works.
But not Beats because they're crap.
No, good headphones. These are professional headphones.
This is Sony, I think.
They cost hundreds of dollars. These are professional headphones.
All right.
If they're professional headphones, you're more likely to know if you're on mic or not on mic. But the minute I lean over to get this bottle over here.
I can hear you.
What about the listener?
Not the listener.
But we're not talking to each other. We're talking to the listener.
Right.
The listener needs to hear every word we say.
Keep that in mind.
Right. You're doing it for the listener. You're not doing it for yourself.
Okay, Dad. Thank you.
Thank you. How do people get in touch with you, Adam?
Yeah, okay. They can call me toll-free.
Yes.
That wasn't me. Mike did that to me on purpose.
Be sure when you call, Adam, you speak into the mouthpiece.
You can call me toll-free.
Well, you know what? Try it Adam's way. When you call Adam, do not wear any earbuds.
Don't
just use your phone and call.
No.
Just talk into the phone.
Life is difficult
without
enough.
Earbuds.
Thank you, Tom. Don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's saying. He's losing his mind.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Listen, you're giving me Radio 101. I really appreciate it. You taught me everything I know.
I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, that got a laugh out of Mike. All right, so you can call me toll-free at 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out online at Facebook and my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There we go. Now, if you missed any part of Adam, obviously, you can go to premiumtom.com, press the play button, and there he will be. If you'd like to call and you've got a question for Adam and you missed your opportunity this hour, well, there'll always be another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And the next one is coming up Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app.
Now, 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zdino.
Yes.
Amber Heard now saying that Johnny Depp is still stonewalling that divorce. You know, it's pretty awesome. As you start to look at pictures of these two. The two of them never looked happy together, like, ever.
I don't think she's ever looked happy, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't know, our friend with the, you know, maybe a French accent now. I'm not sure he's all together
either. I used to just think that, you know, she was just one of those my shit don't stink kind of broads that just wouldn't ever smile in a picture, kind of like you. And now I think that she was just fucking miserable. And he's got his arm around her, but he's whispering in her ear, if you smile, I'll kill you.
Right. And the picture is from 2014 when it should have been much happier times.
It should have been joyous.
And no dice. By the way, Depp is so upset with all the stuff that his legal team are trying to get the judges to agree that every time there is a leak in this closed case here, or whatever, closed courtroom, $100,000 fine.
Any expert, any witness called to testify apparently is required to sign a nondisclosure agreement, or they'd like it to be this way anyway. And if you fuck it up, it's going to cost you $100,000.
Right.
Good luck with that. I don't know if they can really enforce that.
Oh, are they just, they're trying to stop these leaks? Because everything is coming out, and it shouldn't be.
Right. Speaking of crazy divorces, apparently a New York real estate mogul and his wife of 57 years going at it like a true War of the Roses.
Look at his
It's
wife.
Harry McLow or McClow or some shit like that. He's apparently stinking rich. Or at least he was anyway.
Yeah, his wife Linda is looking to get some money.
Yeah. In 2008, he was looking to sell. Oh, he just happened to own like the GM building and General Motors building
in
Detroit.
Oh, yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah. In 2008, he was looking to sell it because he was in debt. Yeah, he was $7
billion
in debt.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's any money to still go around. I'm sure that his holdings were worth far more than $7 billion, so they're fighting over that.
All the art and the marital property was in her name, and she refused to sell any of it to bail him out.
Yeah, it's a bad situation over there. Not a happy household.
He also looks like he's got a new girl already.
Yeah. By the way, if you really think you're making the wrong move, somebody's come up with the most retarded thing I've ever seen. They call it the floating prenup house.
Right.
It's a home that literally sits in the water, and you move into it. Should you break up, it literally splits in two and floats off. You go in different directions.
It's called prenuptial housing.
And, yeah, but if you're going into it, like, with, you know, that.
But that's how you should almost, that is how you should go into it, kind of, the more I think about
it.
Yeah,
well, you can't do it on dry land, so you got to be able to do it, you know, in a floating house.
The units should disconnect without much effort. This is all part of the design.
Yeah. Have you been watching? There's like a floating house show. Have you seen this?
Get out of here.
Yeah, people
I like tiny houses.
But, yeah. Tiny houses is different.
Oh.
These are actually big houses with concrete, like, you know, foundations that blop right into the water. And then you can move them around. I guess houses themselves are not that expensive, but it costs like a shit ton of money to just dock it there in the water.
Right.
It takes up like, you know, 5 boat slips or something. I don't know why people want to do that. Finally, real quickly, a pick alert for you have to see. Ireland Baldwin is like 100% naked.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, yeah.
It was always great to see pictures of her and everything, but to see her like completely nude.
It's quite enjoyable.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I'm all for this.
How about that, Daddy?
Yeah, she'll show you.
Right. Little pig.
I forget which one is her dad. I think it might be Stephen.
Is it Stephen Ireland? I thought it was Baldwin. Alec. No, it's not Alec.
That's
Baldwin.
Not Little Pig.
Oh, no, that's not Little Pig.
Oh, wait. Ireland Baldwin.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ireland
is
Baldwin.
That her? Oh, shit. I'm thinking of Haley. Haley Baldwin is the new one on
Baldwin's
the scene.
Get your Baldwin's right.
All right, I'm trying.
There's only like 100 of them. Get it together. Plenty more news for guys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryAndDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.